Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. And this is a show where we address your questions. Many of you email us with your questions beforehand, but please feel free to call us during the show. We'd love to hear from you, and we can talk about anything that you would like. The phone number to call, if you'd like to join in, is 888-627-6008. And before we get started tonight, just a couple of updates, foundation updates. We did just post yesterday the grief retreat in Silicon Valley in California. That'll be held in October of this year. So if you missed out on the one in Connecticut or not able to get into the one in Florida in January, this one's in between. It's in October. It should be a very good retreat with some excellent mediums and grief professionals. So the event is up on the website. If you plan on going, you should probably act quickly because these retreats have been filling up fast. We will be having an upcoming webinar on May 19th with Forever Family Foundation President Lloyd Auerbach. Its webinar is on psychic dreaming, and we'll be addressing things like whether our loved ones can come to us in our dreams. So it'd be a really interesting webinar. That is also the registration and the information on the webinar is on the events page of our website. And lastly, the summer solstice raffle is really going strong. So if you want to get in on that, there are some really excellent world-class mediums, and you can win a reading with them for $5. So again, you can check the events page and join in. And I think that's enough for now. So, you know, we'll get into your questions. And as I mentioned, if you want to call us, it's 888-627-6008. You know, I noticed that in reading over the questions, you'll recognize that a lot of them sound familiar. And they're all new questions that just came in, except that these are things that are on people's mind. And a lot of people, you know, maybe they're new members and they didn't hear a past show, or maybe they weren't able to tune into a past show and we discussed it. So, you know, there will be things that have come up before. So the first one that came in said, I have a question regarding a disturbing issue. I have a close friend whose son took his life. He was in his mid-20s and suffered terribly from mental illness. There are insensitive people who feel the need to say the man must be in hell being punished, possibly for eternity, without being with family or being healed from his horrible illnesses because of his great sin of taking the life his creator gave him. These aren't my beliefs, but I don't know how to comfort my inconsolable friend. I can't find any information on this. It's definitely a taboo subject, but I know I've been able to count on Forever Family Foundation for true information. Yeah, you know, the question, you know, because suicide is so prevalent, which is so unfortunate, you know, today, I mean, it's on a lot of people's minds, and we have talked about it. I mean, you guys want to start off on your feelings on that?
I'll start by saying that is absolutely not true. What this woman is being told, those are not friends, if they would even utter words like that to her. And whatever that setting was, or how she encounters these people, for her own sanity, stay away from naysayers like that. That's horrible. And I don't believe that's true. I believe that if one sadly does choose to end their own life, maybe we don't know the answers, but we've speculated that maybe that was their life's journey. Maybe it was to end that way. If we've come around in different lifetimes, we don't know what one's lessons are, so we can never, ever, put a stamp on it, like this, that was bad or that was horrible. What about right. you, Tom?
Well, I had a problem with the setup where the person had mental yeah. illness issues, and then for somebody to say it was a sin, I mean, clearly he was not capable of thinking rationally. So how can he be blamed for something that he physically or mentally could not make that decision? It wasn't a conscious decision to sin necessarily. It was being driven to escape the pain.
Right, and I agree. And we've talked about that. I mean, it's, you know, in many cases, you know, of suicide, it's an illness, and it's not really much different than passing from cancer or any other disease. It's a disease that people suffer with, and plus the fact that a lot of the reports, you know, and channel reports from through mediums of people that have taken, you know, their own life, is that there's a period of adjustment, like most of us face, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get back, you know, on their feet. But the bottom line is that they progress in these other realms the same way that we all do, you know, and there's a lot of help on the other side. Let's take a caller. We have Jackie from Ohio. Hi, Jackie.
Yes. Hi, good evening.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the gathering. Do you have something, a question you'd like to discuss?
I do. I'm a new member. I have a recent loss of my only grandson about a year ago. Was killed on the highway walking home from a campus bar. He was 21. And I would like to know if people who cross to the other side, do they see or feel or know the pain that we are feeling from their loss?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. And I believe since, you know, energy and emotion is what, you know, takes place both here and there, that they do feel our sadness and our pain. You know, that could be used as motivation for helping to heal our, you know, our grief, and that, you know, if they could feel that, the last thing we want to do is to cause them any more discomfort. However, you know, they have a different perspective than we have here. You know, we're the ones that are grieving. We're the ones that feel the loss. They're not grieving. They already know they still exist. You know, this. You know, that they'll miss us, but you know, they're in a different realm where things that we can't even imagine, you know, take place. So they see our existence as a blip, you know, in time, whereas where they are is the true home. So, you know, they're not grieving in the sense that we think of grief, you know, but we certainly love them and miss them, and we feel it. You know, Tom and Melissa, do you have something that you wanted to add to that?
Well, I my heart goes out to you, Jackie. I can't imagine how hard that must be for you and the family. And I have a feeling your grandson, well, not a feeling, I know he sees your pain and the family's pain But I also know that he wants you to know that where he is, it's pretty awesome. And he's at peace, and he knows, as Bob and Tom keep saying, it's just going to be a blip of time before you're together again. But it's not, that doesn't help you right now, but I hope a little bit.
And I'd like to add that you are feeling the pain, and the family's feeling the pain because you love so much. Yeah. And yes, he knows that you're feeling pain, but he also feels the love that you have for him and have for him still and will always have. And he is fueled by the love that you continue to have for him. So, as Melissa said, he is he's probably doing a lot of amazing things that he wishes he could share with you, and that, and you will be reunited sooner than anybody would hope, I guess, but it will happen.
I also want to add, Jackie, I always feel it's important, and I know it's often difficult amongst family and friends, maybe not so in your family, I don't know, but to talk about him and mention his name a lot, because that keeps his memory alive, it keeps him advancing on the other side. All the love that we show those on the other side, I really, truly feel it helps them advance. If they were loved, they must have been very good people to have earned that love.
His name gets mentioned every day, that's for sure. And I've kind of made that the rest of my life mission, actually, my daughter and I, to keep his name alive, honor him, and do things so that people keep talking about him. He was when he was 12 years old, he got a professional sponsorship for fishing. He loved to fish. He started at about age 5. And so we had a bench installed in one of the ponds that he used to fish at, with a plaque with his name on it. We're starting an annual, what I've called Zach Fest. It's a fundraiser for his fishing club, and we'll have the first one next month, and we're hoping to raise money every year and donate it to his fishing club so that it's a scholarship or an award for some child that wants to fish but can't afford it. We may do a donation like to ASPCA, you know, one or two times, because he loved animals and he had a dog and a cat. And you know, my daughter has been making teddy bears for his very special friends out of his lounging pajamas. So we're keeping very busy with keeping his name and his life and his presence among us.
Yeah. Well, that's great that, you know, many times a lot of good things, you know, come out of such tragedy, and I'm sure he notices and appreciative of that.
If I could jump in here, I've seen many, many medium readings, and I can't tell you, I can't even count how many of those readings mention that the spirit comes through, the loved one comes through and says, you know, I saw you did something special for me, and I really appreciate it. So know that he knows about the bench, he knows about the plaque, he knows about all of this stuff that you're doing in his name, and it's good for him. He enjoys that.
Well, Jackie, thank you for calling in, and we're sorry for your loss, and we hope you get some positive and good signs from your grandson as well.
We actually do. I get a lot of signs, and my daughter gets signs, and we have we are signed up for the retreat in January in Fort Myers, and
we are
so excited and so looking forward to coming, and really, really happy to have found you through the Netflix to the Netflix show.
Surviving Death. Thank you. Yeah, well, we look forward to seeing you, and we definitely will in January.
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Thanks again.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. So we have another question. I saw my mother's spirit leave her body when she passed. It was a mist rise up and out. How common is this, and why would I see this when no other family member did? Also, when she was passing, she was slightly covering her eyes as if to shade them from a light. She did say, no, not yet, to someone. I'm so glad to have found FFF. You've helped me through deep grief when my granddaughter died. And, you know, she goes on. So there's a bunch of things there that we can address. A lot of people do notice things that only the person that's passing, you know, usually sees. But very often family members see things like mists is a very common. And you may be more sensitive than others, you know, by being able to see that. And it's a lot of people talk about seeing an actual silver cord that attaches the soul to the physical body, and they see that cord, you know, snap, you know. So it's a very wonderful thing that you were able to share in that, you know. It's a very, you know, physical death is a very spiritual you know, process, and I think that that's wonderful. As far as saying no, not yet, we know that that's also what a lot of people have been told. That it's not quite their time. And she was saying it to someone, and that someone undoubtedly was the person that was helping to cross her over, which was probably mom or some other close relative. So there's nothing unusual about that. You guys agree?
Yeah, and then of course a lot of people who have had near-death experiences and have come back talk about the white light that they see, the bright white light. So this person who actually did cross was right at the light, and I could understand why the shading of the eyes.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to our phones. We have Carol from New York to join us. So, hello, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, welcome to the gathering. Did you have something
you.
That you would like to discuss?
Yeah, just a quick question. First of all, thank you for everything that you guys do. I think it's a great place that people can go to, especially when we're grieving, to kind of get hope. And so just thank you very much. I did have a question. It wasn't necessarily like, you know, I guess I'll just ask it. When my mom was dying, it didn't seem as peaceful as I was hoping it would be. And while she was passing, she had said a couple of times, I don't think I can do this. She wasn't talking to any of us. She just kept very quietly saying, I don't think I can do this. And I oftentimes wondered, was it that she was speaking to someone and saying she can't stay here? Or it kind of made me feel sad that maybe the passing for her was something she didn't feel she could do, that it was a challenge for her or something. Have you heard of anybody else ever making comments like that?
Yeah, well, you know, bear in mind that the dying process is not easy. There's some people have a kind of a blissful exit, you know, where they pass in their sleep. But for those that are suffering from illness and pain and so forth, it can be violent at the end. I mean, there's just no getting around that. And it's difficult for the person that's dying, and it's difficult for the loved ones that are watching it. You know, her comments that I don't know, you know, if she can do this could have been from a lot of reasons. It could have been being able to withstand, the physical pain. Or, you know, or it could be that those on the other side were, you know, telling her that it's not, you know, quite the moment yet, you know, that she, you know, she had to hang in there.
Okay. Right.
You know, I experienced this, you know, recently with the passing of my wife, Fran, and that was, you know, she was kind of disillusioned that, you know, she was ready, you know, and that they, you know, her line, she said that there's a line. And I said, what do you mean there's a, there's a line of people? And she said, no, there's a line and they won't let me cross it, you know, which was frustrating to her, you know. So, and that we know from, as Tom mentioned, near-death experiences, you know, that, that they're told very often that they can't go over there yet because it's not, you know, quite now. Who makes the determination and who's telling them that, you know, I mean, we can't say for sure. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that what you experienced was you know, anything, you know, unusual. But rest assured, though, that the actual passing is easy and blissful. What leads up to it is not, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very reassuring to hear.
But yeah, that's definitely a point I wanted to reiterate, is that we had a one of our presenters talked about his son who died in a fire, and his wife was beside herself thinking of, oh my gosh, how horrible for my son to have to perish in a fire. It must have been really horrible and painful. And they got a message back several ways, but one of them was a license plate that said no pain, and the messages we've seen over and over again from people who die violently is that when the death process starts, they do not feel the accident, they do not feel the fire, because they're on the transition already. So the trouble or problem or that you mentioned, that this was not a peaceful crossing, there was no pain as far as the death process.
And if you can, try to put that memory or that thought out of your head and just know that your mom is at peace now and it, you know, enjoying life on the other side. So try not to hold on to those words if you can. I know that's not easy, but try.
Right. Well, thank you. You've all been so helpful. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you guys do, because it just reaches so many people and so many people benefit from it. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, let's go to another call before we get to email questions. We have Marie from Oregon on the line. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
You hear a lot about electronic voice phenomenon these days, also known as EVP.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I do have an opinion, and I... you're kind of setting me up, you know, because that's the way I've been.
Well, I'm not expecting anybody to give me, you know, every answer, and I'm just curious.
I understand. I have been currently engaged in doing that process, and that's how I've been communicating with my wife. But over the years, we have worked with many researchers that, you know, do formal studies with electronic voice phenomena. And it's real. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. And it can take a year or more before you start getting messages. But I have received, you know, some incredible EVP messages. A friend of ours who also happens to be a medium has been posing direct questions, you know, to my deceased wife, specific questions, and we've gotten some, you know, incredible answers. As an example, she asked my wife, you know, what is the name of the organization that you founded and you hear on the recording, Forever Family Foundation? You know, so things like that, as hard as it is, you know, for people to believe, because, you know, how can you possibly record a deceased voice, you know, when the person no longer has a, you know, a voice box? Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's about energy and frequency, and somehow, you know, they're able to transmit, you know, that in a manner that we can understand and hear audibly on tape. So if you are interested in that, I mean, it's really simple. You just any digital recorder, your phone, you know, set an intention, ask your loved one to come through, turn on the recorder for 20 seconds, and then play it back. You'll never hear it while it's being recorded, but afterwards you may hear it, and just keep at it. Keep doing it, because, as I said, sometimes people get them right away, and sometimes, you know, people have persisted for years, and then they start coming through. So I don't know the answer to that.
I know I've tried deliberately to capture something. We captured something totally by pure coincidence, or I wouldn't say that, synchronicity, but deliberately trying has not proven successful for me yet, but that doesn't deter me, and I will continue to try myself. Yeah. Good luck to you, Marie.
Well, I'm trying, and the interesting thing is I did contact a medium, and I asked, and her validations were very accurate. And then I asked, I said, would EVP work to contact my husband? And she said, yes, he wants to try.
Well, that's good direction that you should take. You know, if he's trying, you want to give him every opportunity possible to get through, because it's not easy. It's not easy to get through to a medium. It's not easy to get through to you in your dreams. But people, they do. It happens all the time. So you want to give present any channel that you can for that to take place.
Also, I remember, you know, I certainly was raised this way, that when you cross over, then all of a sudden you'll be all powerful, all knowing, and you, because you're going to be energy. But I don't think it works that way, because there's more you can have to learn on the other side, and one of them is how to learn to manipulate your energy so that you can communicate in signs or in EVPs or the different ways that people do communicate. So it's the medium was right on the thing that says your husband is going to try.
Yeah, that's exactly what she told me. She says he doesn't know how to do it yet, but he's trying.
Right. So yeah. Be patient with him as well.
Yeah. I think they have help on the other side, Marie, you know, to help them. So it's a learning process. Just as we learn here, they learn there. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Thank you for being there.
All right. You're welcome. All right. We do have a lot of calls coming in, so let's go to Diana from New York. Hello, Diana.
Hi, it's Diane. How are you?
Oh, hi, Diane. Thank you. Yeah, what would you like to discuss? Do you have a specific question?
Yes, I do. I was wondering about reincarnation. When a loved one crosses over and the soul, if it's the soul who decides that they want to return, can they ever communicate with you again?
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
Tom and Bob can explain this. I never can totally grasp the concept, but they're both really good at explaining how it works.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll just mention, I'll turn it over to Tom, but it's a question that a lot of people that are in grief have, and for obvious reasons, because they worry, you know, they're able to get signs and communications, and they're very fearful that once their loved one decides to reincarnate, that's going to be the end of the communication. But that doesn't hold up because the soul is made up of many, many different parts. And just as consciousness is not confined by any physical laws, neither is our soul. So pieces of our soul could be in different physical embodiments or in other realms, and all still be connected and still retain memories and still communicate. So the evidence seems to point to the fact that yes, our loved ones, even if they decide to reincarnate, which is not a given, that communication will not stop. You know, and I think Tom has his own feelings on that.
Yes. Well, first of all, if you do see the Netflix series Surviving Death, which features us in episode 4, but in episode 6, there's a fascinating story about two young boys who not only were reincarnated from previous lives, but they remembered their previous life. And this one little boy who was a fighter pilot in World War II and was shot down over Iwo Jima actually remembered his airplane. He remembered his aircraft carrier and some of his buddies, so much so that the parents were able to take the information he was giving and contact the people from his aircraft carrier. And this little boy, when he was 4 years old, met his sister from the previous life. And when they met, she was in her 70s at this point. He was 4 years old, and they sat at a table and they laughed and talked and shared memories as if they had never left. And so that is, yes, you can, some people do retain something from the reincarnation. And I must add to that, because other people are saying, oh, wait a minute, I was waiting that when I was told that when I pass over, my loved one was going to greet me. And so someone who's lost a spouse are going, wait a minute, if they reincarnate and then I die, who's going to greet me on the other side? And that's right. What Bob was talking about before, is your soul has many tentacles, if you will, and can exist simultaneously in different lives. So yes, if your loved one has passed and reincarnates and then you pass, there will be your loved one to see you on the other side still anyway.
Well, that's very reassuring to know.
Okay.
The difficult concept is a book called Seth Speaks about who is a spirit that is channeling information back to the physical world. And in that book, which is very heady and difficult to understand. In fact, Seth even says, you know, I could describe this to you, but there's no way you're human mind could possibly grasp it. So there are things that we just cannot understand, but we do see the evidence that these things we can't understand actually do happen.
Is there I don't know how to ask this question. I lost the love of my life in January, and he was an enormously adventurous soul. He loved to go on adventures. And I keep thinking, he's not going to be where he should be for long. He's going to find a place that he could go out and explore. You know, I wish he would wait for me to do that, but I don't think he will. You know, I think that he wants to, because that's just the way he was, and I assume he hasn't changed since he's crossed over. But I'm just wondering, can they do it that quickly?
I think that, the thought process is that everybody sort of gravitates in the afterlife realm to people with similar energy, you know, kind of like-minded people that think the way that they think. So, yeah, I mean, he could be an explorer on the other side take less of an adjustment period and be out exploring the universe. But That doesn't mean that you're not going to reunite when your time comes, because you're still always going to be connected. So, you know, it's not like he's taking a rocket ship someplace. It's a thought process. And by the same thought process, he'll be there to greet you. So I wouldn't worry about that.
And he can still communicate with me even if he's doing that. Like, I will, you know, I'll still get messages from him, and, you know, he just won't disappear. That's my fear, is that he's just going to disappear.
No, it's, you know, the love bond that you had is the conduit that's going to keep you together, and that's going to transcend dimensions.
Right. If you know, as long as long as you keep the love in your heart, he will be in your heart, feeling that love
forever and ever. That the love that we had was amazing, and we had the most amazing relationship. And when he passed, I thought that my world was just done. But he communicated with me. He passed away at 12:15 on January 21st, and that morning I got out of the house to go run an errand, and he actually communicated with me that morning, and
wow.
I was shocked. I was sitting at a traffic light, and I looked over to my right, and there was a fuel oil truck there, and it said Anchor Fuel. Now, I've lived in this town my whole life, and I've never seen an Anchor Fuel oil truck. And then I realized he grew up on Anchor Avenue, and his brother was killed in a car accident with a fuel oil truck. So he was letting me know that he and his brother were together, because before he died, he said to me, "How am I going to know how to get there?" And I said, "Your brother will come take you." So I think he was letting me know that they were together.
Wonderful.
And he most likely was. And some people pick it up right away, and some people need help. I mean, he obviously was a quick learner and a quick communicator. So
yeah, I'd like to share a story that goes right to your point. My father was a sailor. One of his dreams was to sail in a little boat around the world himself, and he passed away, and we got messages back how much fun he was having. He said, "Everything's here is super fast. I can do this. Go here, go there." And it was 7 years later that my mom, who, of course, the love of his life, wanted, found she was diagnosed that she only had a few weeks to live. And we brought a medium in to give her a reading before she passed. And the very first thing that happened, not only did the medium showed up with a bouquet of roses and said, your husband wanted me to bring this to you. And then what the message he said was, I'm practicing my dance steps, because they you love to dance, and I'm going to throw a big party, and I'm waiting for you. And that was the message. So
that's beautiful. Thank you. That is beautiful. Wow.
Well, thank you for calling in, Diane, and hope
thank
to talk
you
to
for answering
again.
My questions. I really appreciate it. Have a great evening.
You too.
You
thank
too.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go back to emails. I have. Okay, here's one. I'm a member of FFF. Tune in every Thursday for your broadcast. I'd love to learn more about mediums and their roles in forensics, specifically in their ability to locate missing people. There's a second part to the question. I guess we could take that first. You know, most mediums don't have that ability, but some certainly do. And we know that some of the mediums that have been certified by Forever Family Foundation have worked with law enforcement and have been instrumental in solving cases. It's not our, specific, interest. However, most mediums are psychic, so they get information both ways. But mediums, a lot of mediums will readily tell you, I don't get that kind of information, you know, but some do. So, I mean, even if you're not a medium and you have intuitive and psychic abilities, you might pick up information like that. So that could be helpful. You know, the second part of her question was, I would also like to know more about negative or evil entities or spirits. They're a popular topic on some TV shows. Is there any truth to their existence, and what is the nature of these so-called negative entities? I'll combine that with another question that came and said, I hear mediums talk about protecting themselves before a reading. For what? What is out there in the world of spirit that they need to be protected from? Good question. Because you're absolutely right. Mediums tell us, because, you know, we've all experienced, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of medium readings over the years, and negative information never comes through. And I ask that question of mediums often, how come? And the answer is, well, before a reading, I ask, I surround myself with white light, or I ask my guides to protect me and not let negative information come through. That's sort of an acknowledgement that there is negative information, you know, because, you know, they're blocking it. So, you know, look, we live in a world of both positive and negative energy. I think the difference is, some might say that in this world, unfortunately, many times it seems like the negative energy is dominant over the positive. However, I think in the next world, the overwhelming predominant energy is positive, you know, because people have a different perspective, you know, where they are. I think that, you know, to suggest that there is no such thing as negative energy is, I think, is maybe, not being honest with ourselves, you know, there must be. But I think that when we think of it in physical terms, like, you know, the bad people do not necessarily remain bad people there forever. You know, they'll grow and they'll progress. So I'll turn it over to you guys to see what you think about that.
I've always had a problem. I haven't really acknowledged evil, I mean, in my life. And I know someone once asked me, just knowing that I'm involved in so many different aspects of this nature, to come and clear the negative energy from her home. Well, she actually called it evil. And even though I didn't really subscribe to that belief, I had read enough interesting techniques to help, and I also felt like sort of mind over matter, and if we talk about it and if we're going through the motions with saging and sage spray to tell any spirits to leave, natural law says they must. That is what I've been told. This, talking about negative information during a reading could be something different entirely, where they won't tell you if they see you don't have much longer to live, or if somebody near, close to you, is going to die. So there's that kind of negativity. And then there are people who dabble with Ouija boards, and I did my whole life, and we just said, is anybody there? And we would get messages. But now, you know, with my further education in this field, it's like, oh, no, you don't want to just invite anybody in. But that seems to be more from the movie portrayal of Ouija boards. What do you say, Tom?
Well, I think that, first of all, we're talking about energy. The universe is energy, and, of course, magnetism is an energy, a big energy. And if you know a magnet, it has a positive end and a negative end. So there is positive and negative in the world. I personally do not believe that there is a conscious evil spirit that we have to look out for. I think what you're getting here that of course Hollywood manifests is, if you have a spirit that is confused and doesn't know if they're alive or dead, and they occupy a house where they used to live or something happened there, the people that are now in the house get spooked quite literally by the happenings by a spirit in their house, and then they call up somebody who knows how to sage and that sort of thing. Oh, you got to get rid of this evil spirit in my house. Well, it's not an evil spirit, and it tends to move on. And I think the Ouija board is when you invite anybody in, you're not necessarily inviting a demon in, but you're inviting, the people still have a sense of humor on the other side. I've seen that a lot of times. So if you invite a spirit in, the spirit might want to play with you and freak you out. So that's why I believe again, with the mediums who protect themselves with a white light and say don't let negative energy in, I think what a lot they want is don't tell me about who's going to die and when and how horrible. Just, I want to deal with love and have, I mean, I'm all about messages of love and healing and that. So that's kind of what they mean by protecting themselves from negative thought.
Okay. Let's go to another question. How old does a fetus have to be to have crossed over? I was 37 weeks pregnant when my baby's heart stopped beating. I get signs, like I can smell her, and I get number and animal signs, but they are not the specific signs I'm asking for her for. Are the signs from someone else who has crossed over, and are they trying to console me? Or is this my daughter, and she is so young that she doesn't know what I'm asking for, so she sends me whatever she can. A few things here. Certainly, a fetus that was 37 weeks old, would have a soul, and that soul crossed over. And that soul could have been around for many, many eons of time. So we can't put a chronological, age on her. As to, is my daughter so young that she doesn't know what I'm asking for? Well, I'm sure she does. But here's the thing. She didn't have a physical life. So just think of it. She wants to convey signs to you and evidence, but she can't supply the evidence because she didn't have a body of work to draw off of. She didn't have anything that happened in her physical life, because she never was birthed into this physical world. So typically what somebody will do in the other, is relate, personalities and specific evidence. And that's how that, that they're still around. In her case, she can't do that, but she could send you messages, so maybe that's why you don't recognize, the signs, because to recognize the signs, there had to have been something that you were aware of, and you can't be aware of them, So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And I've heard medium, well, I shouldn't say I've heard. One time I heard a medium tell a woman who had lost a child that the child was conveying its whole purpose in existing at all was to be wanted and loved. And I'm sure that this mom really wanted and really loved this child. So its mission was completed, I feel.
Yeah, and also it's important. I've seen this a lot of times in readings. I had a friend who went to a medium how was it? Well, I wanted to hear from my father, and I did, and he told me this and this and this and all these things that were true, but he didn't say anything about my drumming. And I was like, well, and so he threw out the whole reading. You can't go in with preconceived notions on what you think the reading should tell you or who you even think the reading is going to come through. And then in terms of signs, if you're getting a sign, you're getting a sign. But if it's not the sign you want, I wouldn't throw out the whole communication. There is communication going on. So it's a little give and take that you want to hear something or you want to see something specific. And then instead you get something else. We got to meet in the middle somewhere. And I do understand we do have a medium that had a book that says, pick a very specific sign. So there are two schools of thoughts, and this medium is excellent, and I think that she's one of the best. And she says, be specific. You know, I picked an aardvark, and then all of a sudden I saw aardvark. So it's possible. But, you know, those are extreme cases, I think. I think in general, if you can get that something that you're walking down the street and you see something, or you turn on the radio and you hear something and you go, whoa, I was just thinking about my loved one, and that connects. If you get that connect, that's what's important.
And with this mom and the baby, see, that knowing where you sort of tingle and you get this warm feeling like a hug, I'd go with that. I'd say, yes, that's her daughter, letting her know she's okay.
And we have seen a lot of readings about children that were miscarried or stillbirth or lost before they were born that do come through and with messages. So, yes, you do have that connection. It's a real connection.
Okay, we have not a lot of time. We can look at another email. My daughter passed away 3 years ago, and for the last 2 years, she has given me so many signs of her being around me. I don't know what level of enlightenment she's on or what's keeping her so busy lately, but she's been silent and very quiet. I keep asking her for a sign and will give her specific requests, like to show me a feather or things she frequently showed me before. I'm struggling with why she has not responded, and I'm feeling like she's forgotten me. My question is, if she decides or has already decided to reincarnate, does her soul or energy still exist, or does that soul transfer into the reincarnated body? We discussed the last part of that, you know, before, but, you know, in terms of signs, and, you know, and Tom touched on this, it does... With most people, it appears that signs are much more prevalent and frequent closer to the passing than they are as our years go by. I tend to think of that because it's not as important for our loved ones to let them, you know, anymore, to let them, you know, because they know that we're going to see them again. And frankly, there's a lot of stuff for them to do, you know, exploring and learning and progressing and, you know, being amazed. So, you know, initially it's so important because they feel our pain and they know that they have to get through to us, you know, but, you know, as we, you know, progress chronologically in time, you know, they are moving on in other dimensions with the knowledge they're going to see us again. So I wouldn't feel, I wouldn't struggle with that, you know. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we're all here supposedly for a purpose, and it's the struggle in life that advances your soul. So if you have no struggle, you have no advancement, and if you start relying on the messages and not living your life, the one thing that our loved ones want to see is that we continue to live our lives, because we still have our lives, our physical life, and they want us to enjoy it while we have it, and then we'll all be together afterwards. So they could possibly be pulling back because they don't want to hinder your soul growth. And as Bob said, if they've sent you signs already and you know that they're there and that they're with you and they'll be waiting for you, then they pull back so you can get on with whatever it is your purpose is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have not forgotten you. They'll never forget you. And like I said earlier, as long as you keep love for them in your heart, they will, a piece of their soul will be in their heart. And as we said before, even if they decide that part of them is going to reincarnate as a dog or a tree or another person, their soul that's in your heart will not leave. It's there.
Right. I well said. So everybody stop stressing over your loved ones reincarnating. They're never going to be separate from you.
That's right.
As we have always done for years on this show, I think we'll end it with our global peace prayer. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.